Dino Talk. Dino Talk. Dino Talk. Another episode of the Dino Talk Podcast.
Boom. The Dino Talk gang is back. But this time, it's just Logan and I. Like, no Jesse today. But he wasn't able to make it. But we still got some stuff to talk about. We're going to start us off talking about some injuries around the NFL. Like, there's a lot. Like, that's one thing we were talking about earlier. Is it's pretty loaded with injuries. Like, every time I look, see someone questionable, I'm like, typically it's just, oh, we missed a practice, but they play. This week, it's just questionable, and everyone's not playing. Then they get downgraded to doubtful. There's just a lot of injuries right now, and you're like, you have to dig pretty deep into your depth in order to fill out a roster. So we're going to discuss that, and then the other thing is we're going to discuss the trading league that all three of us are involved in. And yeah, we have to make 5 trades in the season, and Logan has only made 3 trades, and he asked us for a topic for the podcast is to discuss some possibilities for trading, because he's got a competing team and he's looking to get those 5 trades done. And we're all going to come up with a few trades, but because Jesse's not on, Logan's not going to do his, but I want to get mine off now before the game starts this weekend. So I'm going to bring up a few of those and just kind of walk through my process. And yeah, but to start, news broke earlier that Devontae Adams might end up staying with the Raiders after all. Jacoby Myers got ruled out. Matthew Meyer is out for something. And yeah, I don't know what to make of this. Logan, what do you think?
Honestly, I think the Raiders situation, it's kind of weird because they just, was it last week that they just got blown out by the Broncos? I think it was. Let me double check. Yeah, so the Broncos beat the Raiders 34-18 last week.
You're right.
I think, and I can't remember if we discussed this last year in our like podcast segments, how we were very skeptical of interim head coaches that became head coaches.
Yep.
So like, I was already discussing with one of my coworkers that's a Raiders fan that honestly, at this point in the Raiders franchise, I really don't know what direction they're going to go. And I didn't watch the Raiders game too closely, but I didn't really remember Jacoby Myers suffering anything crazy with an ankle injury, but they already have Devontae kind of just holding them in a weird situation where it's like he's requesting a trade and holding out, getting paid a ton of money for a 31-year-old receiver that isn't on the field. So it's just like the whole situation with the Raiders right now, especially with Zamir White, I kind of was high on him, but I never liked Zamir White out of college. I was always on the James Cook side of things because they ran 2 running backs at Georgia. And so it's just like their offense, I feel like, is in shambles. And who's the starting quarterback this week for the Raiders? Is it AOC?
Yep, AOC. Aiden O'Connell got named starter.
So that also, I feel like, shifts potential trade markets as well, because I know a lot of people might have just stashed Aiden O'Connell for like a rainy day fund. And I know that people also stash Gardner Minshew in a rainy day fund, and it's not paying out right now. So I'm kind of interested to see like where the momentum goes, who gets targets. Will Devontae Adams actually play eventually? Like, it's just such a weird situation for the Raiders right now.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think the interim coaching thing is a big part of this, because I just don't see Pierce being there long term. Like, he might get another year, but I don't see this work now. This has just been kind of messy. I mean, it all boils down to they don't have a quarterback. Like, that's the big issue. And when you don't have a quarterback, like, you take a big risk as a coach taking that job. But I think there's 2 scenarios with Devontae Adams here. Go ahead.
Okay, so before you mention this Devontae Adams thing, I just want to preface, even before the hiring of Pierce, did you find it weird that Max Crosby kind of offered an ultimatum to the Raiders that if they didn't hire Pierce, he didn't want to be on the Raiders? Do you remember that? And did that not just like set up this weird toxic environment of like, it's either him or us? And then now we have other people using, they could obviously use that as leverage. Like, they don't see eye to eye with this guy that they brought in. Maybe Devontae didn't hold a high opinion on Pierce in the first place. So it's just like that could have been the tipping point to this weird like situation that's going on. But yeah, go ahead. What do you have to say about Devontae?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're saying about the Raiders. Like, they're in a tough spot. I'm pretty sure with Pierce, I don't think he got to hire his coordinators. I'm pretty sure those were brought down from ownership, or like, hey, you should hire this OC, should hire this guy to lead the defense. To where, yeah, I don't know. They don't have a lot of hope right now. Like, at least in my mind, like I'm kind of skeptical on them. But I think there's two scenarios with Devontae Adams here. One is the possibility that they're just doing this for trade to try to fluff their offer. Like they're trying to get a second and they're getting lowballed. They're just like, yeah, we'll hold him. Like that's not a problem. Like I think that's a possibility. They're trying to improve the offers that they're getting. And I think the other possibility is Devontae Adams wanted Aiden O'Connell to be the starting quarterback. I think that's a legit possibility. Because he seems to be a fan of O'Connell based on what I saw going into the year. And Minshew, he's not a bad quarterback, but he's also not good. And what was the point in naming him the starter? I didn't understand that from the start. The guy that's played a lot, and we know he's not a franchise guy when you got a young quarterback, didn't make sense to me. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I've got some thoughts on that. That's a great point. I think that, do you think we're going through the growing pains of Jimmy Garoppolo again? Because I had Devontae in some leagues last year, and when Jimmy Garoppolo was playing, Devontae just was not getting the targets. And then when Aiden O'Connell came in, targets galore. You're wide open, you're not open. We're going to send it to Devontae as much as possible. So I'm wondering if that's exactly what he's saying. It's just like, we need to make a change. Aiden O'Connell's fine, but like, I want some targets, man, or send me to another team.
Yeah, I mean that's possible. And the other thing, if I remember correctly, I don't know if this core is correlated. I might be putting on my tinfoil hat. Last year with Jimmy Garoppolo, Jakobi Meyers was a popular target of Jimmy Garoppolo because Jimmy Garoppolo is big on the timing, and Jakobi Meyers is going to be where he's supposed to be. He's good in and out of his breaks, and but with Aiden O'Connell, Jakobi Meyers didn't do as well, and it was Devontae Adams. And now all of a sudden, Jakobi Meyers is hurt, and Devontae Adams is going to come back. I don't.
They're fighting.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
Tinfoil
Obviously,
hat.
Jakobi Meyers, undrafted free agent, doesn't have the leverage Devontae has with his current career. But like, he's just going to be like, oh man, that ankle's really bothering me this week. I can't play. I need to be doubtful now. And now it would be crazy if Devontae flips out of being in and out status right now to playing. But that would be like, you say you're putting on a tinfoil hat, but if Devontae miraculously plays tomorrow,
I
I
might
don't
take off
know if it's
that
crazy. I don't know
hat.
if it's crazy. Like, it might be spot on.
Regardless, it's going to be interesting with the Raiders. I'm really curious to know how the next few weeks go. And I hope O'Connell does well. I'm a guy that's been stashing him in some leagues. I bought him for some third and fourth round picks in hopes that he can kind of be something here. But let's kind of transition from that to let's actually keep on the same thing with injuries. Like, what players do you want to target right now? Like, just there's a lot of injuries, which hurts the players that are hurt, obviously, but it also presents opportunity for other players. What players that are now getting the opportunity are you kind of buying into and the idea that they might be something long term or even short term? Because you got to win games.
Yeah, exactly. I think that I wish I would have spoke about this guy earlier in the season because I viewed him as kind of just a boom or bust guy, and I think those guys are somewhat valuable on a competing team or just like a mid-tier team in a dynasty league. An example of one last year was like Trey Palmer, just kind of just randomly would go off. But this person also showed characteristics of that person as well, kind of later, mid to later part of the season. But staying on the topic of the Las Vegas Raiders, I think with Jacoby shocking us with going to doubtful earlier, Devontae currently being ruled as out, Zamir White's questionable. I don't even know if that's relevant. But then Matthew Mayer was also listed as out. Obviously, Brock Bowers is going to feast, but I think that if you got him early enough in the season, you could probably find him on the waiver wire or snag him later in the draft. And I think Trey Tucker is that guy. I think that normally he's just their deep ball guy and, just making game-changing plays. But it's just like recently I've noticed that a lot of that's been shifted. He's just getting targeted. He's not just coming out of a game with one or two catches for like 70, 80 yards, maybe a touchdown. It's just like recently in the last two games, they kind of got blown out by the Broncos. Like I said earlier, he had two targets or two receptions, five targets, 18 yards, but also Jacoby Myers was in that game. They didn't really stand a chance. The week before, he had five receptions, six targets, 41 yards. So it's just like they're even involving him in the rushing game, which is kind of weird, but they're obviously trying to just keep him on the field, get him the ball, see what happens. But in that Panthers game 3 weeks ago, when Andy Dalton shocked them, he had seven receptions for 9 yards and a touchdown. And I really just think that not having Jacoby Myers, who are they going to throw the ball to? I know DJ Turner randomly had like a carry for a touchdown, and I was like, who even is this guy? So they're really trying to stretch the depth chart as thin as possible, and I think Trey Tucker has already proven that he can catch balls, so I think that right now it's like you gotta add him before it's too late and then sell him when he's on that high, because I think right now you just gotta flip him. Because I don't think he's like a spectacular receiver, but he could provide some trade value, I think.
Yeah, I don't hate that idea. Like he's produced a lot more than I thought he did. I was just kind of looking up his target numbers and the catch numbers. Like they're not bad. And also, if Devontae Adams were to get traded, he could be a guy that you could be kind of relying on down the stretch. And you never know. Switching over to O'Connell, like Tucker could be a guy that he could rely on more. But I also really like Brock Bowers' opportunity going forward. Like he's a guy that I would he should be very end up finishing very high as a rookie tight end. Like
Yeah, in a year that tight ends are struggling, he's going to be climbing those rankings because he's already shown he warrants targets. Like, and Aiden O'Connell, I haven't, I didn't really see him play last week, but if my memory serves me correctly, he is a dude that locks in and will target the literal shit out of anyone, regardless if you're open or not open. He's gonna try to feed you the ball, try to move it as much as possible. So I think that any one of these two peoples on the Raiders, I think that they're gonna get targets, and that's all that matters. That's the opportunity cost of trying to get someone like that. So
yeah, absolutely. Tucker's not a bad guy to target right now. One I want to transition to is I'm kind of buying into Antonio Gibson. With Stevenson getting him being out, it's already been known that the coaching staff's a little bit down on Stevenson with his fumbles, which I think is maybe unwarranted. But Gibson's getting the opportunity, and he's playing with a rookie quarterback who's making his first start. And with Drake May coming in there, they do not have a very good offensive line. They don't have a lot of great weapons on the outside. I could see some really high catch volume games for Antonio Gibson. Like, I could see him catching six passes a game for the next couple weeks, as long as Stevenson's out. I mean, even with Stevenson there, like, Gibson's a guy that they've been using in the pass game, where I like Gibson as a starter. And I don't think he's a bad guy to toss if you can get him in a third round for a third round pick in the league. Just if he can keep that up down the stretch. Because with Drake May, he's got to find a way to get rid of the ball, not take a lot of sacks, and not get himself hurt and develop bad habits. And I think Gibson's a guy that you could dump off to quite a bit. And I think he's going to be a guy in PPR leagues that kind of shows out here. So I like the idea of buying Gibson. What do you think about that one?
I kind of wish we did this podcast a couple days earlier because when I saw Ramondre was out, give the listeners a few more days to start some claims on their waiver wires. But it's just like his rushing stats even really aren't that
Yeah,
bad
they've been
because
falling.
let me do the math on this one too because it's like he's averaging 5 point what is it 5.9 yards per carry and it's like. Let me double check on this one. And it's just like even if you subtract his longest runs from his this last game they played the Dolphins, he had 6 carries, 52 yards, longest was 24. It's like even if you subtract that and give him 5 carries minus the 24 long, he's still averaging a good amount of yards. It's just he had a down game against the 49ers, 6 rushes, 12 yards. That really hurt his averages. He obviously wasn't getting the volume. The Seahawks game, he had 11 carries, 96 yards, broke one off for 45 yards. Still subtract that. Pretty sure it was 5.9 yards per carry on every other carry minus the 45 yard one. And it's just like the dude is a beast when he starts getting those little dump offs, maybe even does like one of the cutouts into a slant. He knows how to work those dump offs and those one point PPR leagues with catches. It's just so valuable because I think that like what you said, Drake May, I don't think he's going to be too risky in this first start because I think he's seen what Brissett does. Brissett, I don't know. He's just a good person to plug into a franchise. And I think that Drake May might take some shots, but I think that in those early games that he plays, he'll definitely be risk adverse. And I think that Antonio Gibson is the person that he's like the perfect person to lean on that in any tight end. And I don't even think that, what is it, Hunter Henry on that team? And, Henry's all right, but I think Gibson will be the safest option. So I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, I'm really liking him, especially this week playing the Texans pass rush. I think he could have a pretty big, I mean, not a great statistical day, but catch some passes. Like, that's a PPR league, that everyone's a point. You get
Yeah,
30
maybe, yeah.
yards, 9 points right there.
Maybe I'll have 10 catches for 12 yards.
Hey, that's points right there. The other
Yeah,
guy, I'll keep it quick with this that I want to talk about with injuries. I know last week was not what people had hoped for, but Dontayvion Wicks, I'm still buying him. Like, if you can get a discount even after last week, I'd still do it. He's had a little bit of issues this year with catches, and also, like, he's had some drops, but he also has had a little bit of miscommunication. Like, him and Love have been a little bit off. But the thing is, he's still getting open at a very high rate. Like, he's always open. And I'm going to keep buying into that. As long as they keep having injuries and Romeo Dobbs being in the doghouse, Wicks is the guy I'm going to keep buying. Because if they start hitting on these plays, I think he's going to be a guy with Jaden Reed that can kind of take over that offense. So Wicks still a guy I'm buying.
How many drops has Wicks been accounted for? Because I see it as 10 receptions, 29 targets, and I saw people on Twitter really talking about Wicks, great route runner, great separation, but what's wrong with his hands?
I don't know how
Was
many
it more
drops.
so on the throws or him?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Where you look on Twitter, Dontayvion Wicks has three targets and he doesn't get a catch. People are going to be flaming him for not catching the ball. Stone hands. Even if they're jump balls, they're throwing it up with double coverage and he gets his hands on it. Oh, it's got to be caught. Get him off the field. He's had a couple plays where he should have caught the ball, but there's also been a lot of plays where Jordan Love has not connected with him. And I think it's a little bit of both that's been the issue. But at the same time, he still throws the ball to him a lot because he's gets open and he's got a step. And it's on both of them to get the connection. But I think Love kind of needs, he's been hurt, but I think I'm buying into them having a good connection going through the last part of the season.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wish I had the stat pulled up, but before I move on to my next player, it's just like anyone that's interested in separation score stats needs to look into Dontayvion Wicks, because his like success metrics and separation scores are just they might lead the NFL, because it's insane how much he separates from people defending him and how his ability to get opens. It's kind of weird. Like, he had a really successful rookie season, and I don't know if it was just the fantasy community where there was like the Wicks truthers and then the haters, and they just were at war with each other because he would kind of have some spotty performances. He was like the most successful version of Gabe Davis with less targets, which is what I thought. But moving on to my next candidate for this, I thought, speaking about offenses that have injuries currently, I wanted to highlight. Let me see. Here it is. I think Darius Slayton is a guy that you might be able to find on the waiver wire. If not, like, he really might just be lingering on the waiver wire. And I think people might not have noticed, but he is the second. He's the second receiver yards related on the Giants right now. Obviously, you have Malik Nabers, 386 yards. Dude has a concussion. Went to the Travis Scott concert. So he was having a good time. He's obviously ruled out for this next week. Whereas Darius Slayton has 18 receptions, 26 targets, and 244 yards right now. Obviously, he isn't getting the volume that Wan'Dale Robinson is with 32 receptions. But I think that he is a candidate in some leagues that you might just be able to stash him on the bench. It might be too late to pick him up off the waiver wire, but I feel like if you're holding him on the bench, maybe you have some buys. I think Darius Slayton might realistically be a person that you might just be able to spot in a flex spot this week. Because what was it last week? Eight receptions, 11 targets, 122 yards, and a touchdown. I think that is pretty crazy in the last 2 weeks. Is honestly, his production hasn't been bad, minus the Cleveland game. I think in deeper leagues, you realistically could start him probably every week, because he hasn't done bad, but I think he's a good addition to a team this week.
I 100% agree with you. That's a great one. I actually thought about mentioning him on this too, because I saw one thing. I don't know about long term. Like I think him is in the really short term until Neighbors gets back. I saw that he has had a basically Malik Neighbors is like first read target percentage and like was at an insanely high rate this season, like in the top three in the NFL. And those first read targets have gone straight, like one-to-one connection to Darius Slayton, where they've just slided him directly into that role. I mean, which makes sense since they expect the Neighbors injury to only last for maybe 1 to 2 weeks. But yeah, he's a smash play this week. I would play him over a decent amount of good players. I don't know what I would classify as good players. That's tough. Like Deontay Johnson level. Like I might play Darius Slayton over Deontay Johnson this week, just because I think he's gonna get those targets, and they have Wandale, and outside of that, you got Darius Slayton.
Would you play, this is a good question, I feel like. Would you play Josh Downs or Darius Slayton slash Wandale Robinson?
Darius Slayton or Wandale.
Okay. What about, yeah, I got another one. I'm just looking at one of my teams real quick. Would you play Chris Godwin or Wandale Robinson slash Darius Slayton?
Chris Godwin.
Okay. I'm trying to, measure out the threshold here, and I feel like Downs is on the lower end, and then Godwin's just right there where you're like, I don't know who's going to score more this week, because Godwin's got the Saints and crap, who do the Giants play? Do they finally play they play the Bengals. So we'll see what happens with that. I think that you've been pretty on point with that, and I don't want to psychoanalyze Daniel Jones or anything, but this just gives me flashbacks of last year in training camp when people were criticizing Daniel Jones for hyper targeting Darren Waller and Jalin Hyatt because he had no one else. And I think that Daniel Jones has shown that he's a quarterback, that he knows what he wants, and if it's not there, he's going to look kind of goofy. So I think that kind of sums him up to a T.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I love the Slayton play. I really do. Especially when you're with all the injuries, you got to make some moves like that. And Slayton's the perfect guy that, like, even in some dynasty leagues, he might be on the waiver wire to where you can pick him up, slide him into your lineup this week. If Neighbors misses another week, slide him in for 2 weeks. Yeah, that's a good player to have.
I might actually just have another one that I just thought about, because I was talking to Xavier a couple of days ago, and we witnessed it in real time where we saw Rashad White went doubtful, and I wish I would have made the call out a week or two ago, because
Another
it's
one that just came out of the blue, I thought.
and some yeah exactly yeah his production's been really weird rushing wise, and I thought Bucky Irving has been showing some pretty positive signs. I mean, he had a fumble last week though that kind of scared me. I actually started him in a league last week because I was dying with like the Lions Chargers bye weeks. So I was really hurting for some running backs, but luckily I'd picked Bucky Irving off the waiver wire. And honestly, I feel like this is just a spotlight. He's a very efficient runner, and I think that the Buccaneers are looking for that. That obviously they had a little trial run with Sean Tucker last year, and I don't think that really worked out. But I think Bucky Irving actually just might be that guy that provides them with that efficient running style. So I'm interested to see if he gets an increased workload this week with Rashad White being doubtful. Rashad White, though, even being doubtful, I think on sleepers projected points. So I think that's kind of weird. Maybe they always do that.
Yeah, when you're doubtful, they usually have you projected like 1 to 2 points.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because Rashad White 1.42. I was like, all right, that dude's not playing. I'm gonna slot in Bucky Irving this week again
You know
and
who they
hope he
play?
doesn't fumble. It's a good question here. Let's see. They play this week. They play. Oh, the Saints. Yeah, I mentioned that with Godwin.
Okay.
And I think if the Saints offense struggles, you give them some more catch or some more time on the field, so.
Yeah, I mean, Bucky, this is his time to shine here. Like he's got his opportunity. I don't know if they're gonna give him the full workload or like if Sean Tucker's gonna mix in a little bit. But if Bucky shows out and can do some stuff in the pass game, yeah, it's gonna be tough sledding for Rashad White in the short term. But
Yeah,
yeah.
no, that's a good point. I guess before we run out of time here, though, I think we should probably end the segment here. And what do you got for me in the fantasy football league that I need to make a trade in? You said it was a blockbuster, and you needed to get it out, so I need to hear about it.
Yeah, so we have about 5 minutes left. So I'm gonna rattle off them all. I have four. And for context, Logan has a good team. He has a pretty good squad, and but he doesn't have a lot of depth to where my goal with these trades is getting you depth. And keep in mind, I'm also contending in this league, so these but I'm not using any of that. Like, I'm taking all bias out. I'm only doing trades that I would also make. So one trade, so there's one guy in our league that's clearly rebuilding, and he's going for the future. So I think he's a pretty logical trade candidate. So I have two trade possibilities for him. And that is, you have his early third round pick, which should be the 301. And my thought is to trade that 301 for J.K. Dobbins and Ty Chandler.
Wait, so I would.
You would trade your early third round pick, which is likely to be the 301, for J.K. Dobbins and Ty Chandler. And if he doesn't want to do that straight up, then I would add in your third or fourth.
So two
And
thirds.
yeah, do two thirds for that.
You
And
think someone would do that for J.K. Dobbins right now?
I think they would. In a rebuild, I don't know if he's a guy that you want to hold in a rebuild.
Okay, because that's my concern with J.K. Dobbins right now. Obviously, I hold him a little higher because I think he's got some great momentum. Gus Edwards just went on the IR, and I think that honestly, that's the thing is he's rebuilding. So I should just literally message him that probably after the fact, like, "Hey man, do you really want those points just sitting there? Like, come on, two thirds or I'm out."
Getting JK and Ty Chandler, like, his production's gone down the last couple weeks, like the last 2 weeks. They played a little better defenses, so it's, I mean, I just don't want it to be a James Robinson, to where he starts the year off great after his Achilles. Everyone's like, okay, buy him, buy him. I know our other resident host, Jesse, sent a first round pick for James Robinson after one game post Achilles, and that was 2 games before he was cut and never really seen again. But not to
Shout
slander
out to
Jesse
Jesse.
here, but
Shout
I
out
just
to
don't want that
Jesse.
to happen. What'd you say?
I said, shout out to Jesse.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening, loser. Just kidding. What's the next trade, though?
Yeah, and the other one is to the other one to him as well is you could dangle your 2025 first, to where it would probably be late. And you could try to get Josh Downs, J.K. Dobbins, and Ty Chandler, to where you would, it might be a little bit too much payment for those guys. But at the same time, Josh Downs is young and he's had some early results that are positive, to where I think you could, with your first round pick, you'd be able to get three guys that should be able to help you with this team. And with Ty Chandler, he's not a star, but he's a guy that with Aaron Jones missing time, like, he could produce, to where it's just a guy that you could kind of buy low and maybe he turns into something.
Yeah, I definitely like that one too, because I need to preface in this league, my starting roster is absolutely stacked. This was one of the biggest drafts I've ever done, where we have a ton of depth on our bench. So I've been doing so well, I haven't been managing my bench that well. And I still have Michael Thomas and Darren Waller on my bench. So usually I would hate trades where you have to find space, but I have plenty of space to work with. So I don't mind that one at all.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I thought that'd be a solid one. And you can get kind of get young players that have some promise, where I think it's solid. The other one, trade with me. I sent you one earlier this week. You declined it, but this is a little better offer. You trade me Geno Smith. I need a quarterback. I need a reliable QB2. And I get Geno Smith and I send you Deshaun Watson and Tony Pollard.
Yeah, isn't that the one you sent me? Because
No,
I
I sent
didn't.
you Najee.
Oh,
Najee
okay.
was
Yeah,
it.
that's why I
I
didn't
gave you
think it's
your
like, look.
boy Tony Pollard from the Titans. I didn't want to
Yeah.
do it, but I would
that's a,
dangle that.
that's the thing is I feel like in this league, me having Dak, CJ, and Geno, my trio quarterback is one of the best I have in Dynasty. Like if I have a bye at quarterback or an injury, I feel confident with Geno on my bench. Like it's crazy. He didn't have actually he had 16 points. Like that's not bad. And I feel like that is one solid thing I did in this league is actually get Geno in the later rounds and just sit on him. So maybe, but I don't really want Deshaun. I could still see him being benched.
Yeah, I mean it's possible, but he's a quarterback for bye weeks for you. And you get a running back, Tony Pollard, who's better than Ty Chandler and J.K. Dobbins.
I feel like you're dangling the dollar on the fishing pole right in front of me. Ooh, a dollar. You're gonna reel it away from me.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. All right, but yeah, that's one. And then the last one is a trade with Jesse. And I'll go quick with this, but it's a big trade, so I better take my time. So you would trade to Jesse, who should be in a rebuild. I'll say that. Might
Should.
think yes, should be in a rebuild. He might think he can compete. But you would trade him your 2025 first because you don't have a second, your 2026 second round pick, which you never know. It could be early. You never know to where Jesse could value that to mid range, and your early 2025 third. And David Njoku. So your 2025 first, 2026 second, your early 2025 third, which will be the 301, and David Njoku. You would trade him that, and you would get in return Jalen Waddle, David Montgomery, and Pat Freiermuth. To where you would.
I don't mind that one at all. 'Cause I think like I did in a lot of leagues, I doubled down on my takes with Tucker Kraft. So I have depth. I don't really like Muth too much, but I like the rest.
Yeah. And with Freiermuth, you have Kraft, so I thought you could get a tight end that could help you in bye weeks, and if you have to play him, and if some reason he starts getting targeted, maybe Russell Wilson comes in, he starts targeting him a ton, he's a decent guy to have. And I think it can make sense for both. And if Jesse still thinks he has to go for it, getting all those picks, more picks for the war chest, he could still go for it. If he wants to get another running back, if he wants a receiver, he can start dishing out. But he could get a reliable tight end and he could get more picks to add to his war chest. I think it could be work for both of you. Plus you'd get Waddle, Montgomery, and Freiermuth. That'd be great for you and I think great for Jesse.
We will see you next week. You can follow him on Twitter, Pro Talk Logan. Follow me and PT Nick 32. Until next time, Dino Talk.